وعلى رسول الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، today inshallah we'll be continuing with Babu Salat al-Safar from our book الدرر البهية في المسائل الفقهية by Imam Muhammad ibn Ali Shukani rahimahullah. Women should sit together. Women should sit together. Laya. Imam al-Shawkani said, rahimahullah, Babu Salati Safar. Babu Salati Safar. Babu Salati Safar. He said, rahimahullah, يجب القصر على من خرج من بلده قاصدا للسفر وإن كان دون بريد. جزاك الله خيرا. وإذا أقام ببلد مترددا قصر إلى 20 يوما، وإذا عزم على إقامة 40 أتم بعدها، وله الجمع تقديما وتأخيرا بأذان وإقامتين. يسد باب صلاة السفر. يجب القصر على من خرج من بلده قاصدا للسفر وإن كان دون بريد، وإذا أقام ببلد مترددا قصر إلى 20 يوما، وإذا عزم على إقامة 40 أتم بعدها، وله الجمع تقديما وتأخيرا بأذان وإقامتين. الإمام الشوكاني said باب صلاة السفر. The chapter about صلاة السفر. The salah we observe during our journey. صلاة السفر. The prayers. How we observe Salat during Safar. How do we pray during Safar? The prayer of the times of journey, or the prayers during journey. Salat to Safar. So it will be necessary to investigate what does a Safar mean. If we say Salatul Khawf, we know what Khawf is. If we say Salatul Eidain, we must first know what does Eid or Eidain mean. If we say Salatul Kusuf, we must know what does Kusuf mean. If we say Salatul Istikhara, we must know what it means. Salatul Janaza, what does Janaza mean? So if we say Salatul Safar, we must find out what does Safar means. Linguistically amongst Arabs, Safar means Qat'ul Masafa. covering a distance. قطع المسافة. When an individual covers a distance, generally speaking, he has made a journey. But among the Arabs, it is not every covering of a distance that makes a journey. If someone moves from this masjid to the roundabout at Old Governor's Office, yeah, where do you call it? Okay, fear. From this masjid to okay, fear. Qata al-masafa. Has he not covered a journey, a distance? He has covered a distance. But is that journey? That's not journey. And that's not what they mean. So that's why ulama further explains the qat'ul masafa they mean. The covering of the journey, covering of the distance that they refer to when the word as-safar is employed. They say qat'ul masafa fawqa masafati al-adwa. Covering a journey that is beyond the journey of al-adwa. What is masafati al-adwa? This is linguistically amongst Arabs. They believe that the judge in a town, in a city, can invite someone to give evidence in the court. If he wants to do that, he is helping the person who brings the other person to the judge. He is helping him to seek justice. And is helping him to bring that person to town from wherever he may be. Now, in the past, if a person is traveling from Tulul Shams in the morning, from the time that the sun rises, and he can still come back home at a time that the day is still young, perhaps shortly before Maghrib, or shortly after Maghrib, around this time, he can still come back at a time, reasonable time. That journey is referred to as what? Masafatul Adwa. Because it is a journey in which the judge in a city can help the person who brings a case in front of him to invite the person who is needed to give evidence, come to this town. And the person will come, he will give evidence, and then go back again. So, يُعِينُهُ يُعِينُ الْخَصْمَ. He helps the person who brings case to the judge. Help me bring him to come and give evidence for me in this matter. So the judge can invite those person. The journey of a day, he will leave in the morning and come back during the day. This kind of a journey, Arabs don't still refer to it as safar. So that is why they say as safar logata, linguistically amongst Arabs. Safar is qat'ul masafa fawqa masafati al-adwa. To cover a journey that is beyond this journey that we describe. That is the journey that they refer to as what? Journey, safar. If it is not a journey that is beyond this, Arabs will not refer to it as a journey, safar. This is the asl of that word, as safar, according to Imam Al-Fayyum. The Arabs will not refer to it as safar unless it is beyond a journey that you start at Tulul Shams at early in the morning. And you end that journey when the day is still, you can still say, oh, the day is still bright. Maybe before Maghrib or shortly after Maghrib or around that time, you come back. This kind of a journey, لا يسمونها العرب مسافة لا يسمونها سفر. They wouldn't refer to it as a سفر. So ما فوقه أو ما فوق هذه المسافة هي السفر in the العرب. What is beyond this journey, this kind of a distance that a person will travel like this, is the thing that Arabs refer to as what? Linguistically. Linguistically. Because you know today now, the person can go on a journey like this at a distance that is beyond that distance with which they calculated. You can leave for Cameroon, you can leave for Cote d'Ivoire at that morning, and you come back to Nigeria at that time, and it is now supper. Do we understand? So it requires revisiting the matter from the angle of the Sharia. So what does safar mean in the Sharia? Amongst them, that was how they used to consider safar. But today, what does safar mean from the angle of Sharia? What does safar mean? Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came from Medina to Dhul Hulayfa, H.O.S. He said, we'd observe Salat al-Zuhr 4 rakats. When we came to Dhul Hulayfa, we observed 2 rakats. How is that journey? And the journey between Medina and Dhul Hulayfa will not take you that kind of a distance. So it means the distance that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam considered as a distance for which he made safar is even less than what the Arabs used to consider as safar in those days. Not to now talk of our times, when we can cover longer distances in shorter periods. So we need to revisit Sharia in the Sharia. What does the word as-safar mean? So ulama say as-safar is khuruj al-insan min waqanihi. Safar is an individual's journeying out of his place of stay. Khuruj al-insani min waqanihi. A person's moving away min maqarrihi, min maqarrihi. A person moving away from his maqar, a place of residence, a place of stay, where he stays. Khuruj al-insani min maqarrihi qasidan makanan yastadriku al-masiru ilayhi masafatan ma. It is the individual's going out of his place of stay. He intends to go to another place. يَسْتَغْرِكُ الْمَسِيرُ إِلَيْهِ. And that place, the journey to that place is يَسْتَغْرِكُ مَسَافَةً مَا. It will cover a particular distance. A safar in the Sharia is a person leaves his place, he stays. Don't forget, a place he stays for another location. And this journey, يَسْتَغْرِكُ مَسَافَةً مَا, it will cover a particular distance. But this distance, ulama are divided. What distance is it? Ulama are divided. Safar is a person's leaving his place of stay, where he stays. So don't ask me, where can I take as a place to make, or if I go out of a place, can I make qasr there? I have a wife there. Is that where you are staying? Is that your maqar? Is that your place of stay that we now call in a single word residence? Your maqar, where you have istiqrar, where you have makan. This is where I'm staying. That is your home. So if you go to another place, going to that place covers a particular journey. So which journey is it? How long should that journey be? Ulama are divided. But before we move ahead, it means a safar involves two things. The first, qat'ul masafa, covering a particular distance. The second thing that it involves is tarkul maqar, leaving where you stay. Qasr involves how many things? Two things. The first one is what? Qat'ul masafa, covering a particular distance. What is the second thing that it involves? Tarku al-maqam, abandoning where you stay. So upon safar, you cover a distance, and as you cover that distance, you have left your home. You have left your makan or your maqar, the place of istiqrar, the place of residence, the place of calmness, the place of stay for you. You have left that place. Understanding this point is very important on the issues of custom. A person will say, oh, he is living in Oshogbo, or he has a wife in Ogbomosho. Will he be observing custom each time he goes to Ogbomosho? Where are you staying? Or his wife is schooling in Ogbomosho. She has a residence there. She has a residence, or you have a residence. She has a stay. What do you have? We must be able to determine these points, because these are the major issues you will be employing in every issue of Salatul Qasr. Where are you staying? Where is your residence? Where are you living? And then that place you have gone to, you are what there? Are you visiting there? Or you are a resident there? If you are not a resident there, you are due for Salatul Qasr because you are on Safar. If you are not resident there, you are due for Qasr. If you are resident there, you are not due for Qasr. Such as when students vacate school and come back home, the home becomes what? Their residence. When they leave home and go to school, the evidences in the Sharia will make us know for how long they can stay in school before we can say it is they have become residents in school, or their places of work, or their places of study. For how long can you stay there? Youth Corps member, this question comes every year. They stay 21 days in the orientation camp. They leave their makar and take the orientation camp as another makar. I just quickly came to the answer. Because they are spending 21 days there, we are coming back to this issue. So the right thing for them to do before we begin to discuss it is that they will observe their salah full in their orientation camps, because it has become a new place of stay for them for that period. So youth corps members, for 21 days, they will be, from day one, they will start observing their salah full. The only salawat they will observe in Qasr are those ones they observe on the road before they go to NYC camp. Once you get to your camp, your next salah that comes, you are going to observe that salah full as a resident. 4 rak'at for Dhuhr, 4 for Asr, 4 for Isha. So it's always important, recognize your maqar, your place of stay, your residence. Once you recognize it, when you go elsewhere, you are a musafir. Unless you fall under the conditions of istiqrar dia too, then that place becomes another residence for you, as the case may be. We'll come back to all that, inshallah. But we must always be able to determine our residence and our place to where we have journeyed. I hope that this matter is clear. So Salatul Safar or Salatul Qasr is the salah we observe during that journey, when we have left our maqar, covering a masafa. We left our maqar, we've covered a masafa, a distance. The salah will be observing, and how we observe that salah are the issues that we want to discuss today, inshallah. Salatul Qasr, what makes us know, how do we know that it is a salah that is established in the Sharia? What is the mashru'iyyah? What is the basis for us to say that Salatul Qasr is established in the Sharia? Ulama say Salatul Qasr is established in the Sharia according to the Quran, according to Sunnah, and according to Ijma. Salatul Qasr, Salatul Safar is established in the Quran, Salatul Safar is established in Sunnah, and Salatul Safar is established bil Ijma'. In the Quran, in Surah Al-Nisa, Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَيَّفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ You see, ضرب في الأرض is قطع المسافة. When you ضربتم في الأرض, when you go on the surface of the earth, this verse of the Quran does not specify what distance is ضربتم في الأرض. قطع المسافة, قطعتم المسافة. You cover a particular distance. Allah says subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ There is no blame on you. لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ You are not blamed. There is no blame. There is no heaping a blame on you. أَن تَقْصُرُوا الصَّلَاةِ If you reduce your salah, there are a lot of issues around here. Because some of the ulama come to say, Allah says, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا الصَّلَاةِ There is no blame on you if you reduce your salah. So, salatul qasri or salatul safar cannot be obligated. Because he's just saying that there is no blame on you. But ulama respond and say, this is not the only place Allah is saying there is no blame on you. And what he is talking about is obligated. إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَيَتَّمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا وَالصَّحِيحُ مِنْ أَقْوَالِ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ أَنَّ السَّعْيَ وَاجِبٌ أَوْ وَاجِبَةٌ So, in that verse in Al-Baqarah also, Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّفَى وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ صَفَى and مَرْعَى are from the symbols of Allah. They are from His signs. فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتِ So anyone who comes making Hajj, who comes to visit Hajj, who comes to visit Baytul Haram, Masjidul Haram, and he's therefore making Hajj, he says, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَوَّفَ بِهِمَا There is no blame on such persons, أَنْ يَطَوَّفَ بِهِمَا For him to make tawaf in between Safa and Marwa. And tawaf between Safa and Marwa, that we refer to as sa'i, is wajib. But because he says la junaha alayhi does not now mean that it cannot be an obligation. So why did he say la junaha alayhi? Ulama said the reason he said that was in the times of Jahiliyyah, Arabs used to place idols at Safa and they used to place idols at Al-Marwa. So when the companions came to make Hajj, their minds were not comfortable with making Are you between two places where they in the past used to place idols? So that is what the Junah Allah is saying. No, there is no Junah. Don't think that it is a wrong thing for you to make Asayu between As-Safa and Marwa. It is not saying that As-Safa and Marwa is something that you can make if you like. It's just saying that don't think that making Safa and Marwa is part of Shirk. Because they used to place idols at Safa and idols at Marwa. So don't think that it is Shirk. So ulama say, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَنْ تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ Here is saying that there is no blame on you if you reduce the salah. Because the people will be thinking, why will our salah reduce from 4 rak'ahs to 2 rak'ahs? Why should we reduce the salah? Just because you are upon a journey, Allah says, لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ Don't think that that is a bad thing for you to do. It does not mean that observing salatul qasri is not an obligation. I hope that this point is clear to us. So فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ I just thought to quickly explain it. Because that point is employed to say it means Salatul Qasri is not compulsory. Salatul Qasri ala sahih is compulsory. We'll mention it inshallah. That is, when we travel, we must observe 2 rak'ahs. If you are leading the people, you are musafir, observe 2 rak'ahs. That is what is obligatory on you. If you are leading the people and you are musafir, observe 2 rak'ahs. If you are praying alone and you are musafir, observe 2 rak'ahs. Unless you are praying with the imam who is muqim. That itself is qawlu ba'di ahli al-ilm. Many times we used to think that that mas'ala is mas'ala to ijma. A mas'ala that upon which is based upon an agreement among scholars. There are some of them who have the view that if you are praying behind an imam who is observing 4 rak'ahs, you observe 2 rak'ahs and go. Some say if you meet him upon 2 rak'ahs, when he's making taslim, make taslim. Some say if you meet him sitting down, what is obligatory on you is 2 rak'ahs. So when he makes tahiyyah to make taslim, you stand up, make 2 rak'ahs and go. Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir in his book Al-Awsaq, he says anyone who thinks that this matter is a matter of one witness and ijma, that if a musafir is praying behind a mukim, a traveling person is praying behind a mukim, if you think that it is something upon which scholars are agreed upon that the mukim, the musafir should observe four rakat, it says because you don't have knowledge, that is the reason why you think like that. Inshallah, we'll come back to that issue. But the point we are trying to make, Allahu A'lam, is that this verse, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ, there's no blame on you, and تَقْصُرُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, for you to reduce your salah. This لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ does not now mean that salatul qasr is not compulsory. Because there are other things regarding which Allah mentioned لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ, and those things are compulsory, because other evidences show that they are compulsory. So if we have other evidences that show that salatul qasr is compulsory, then it is so compulsory. لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ does not remove the compulsion, as it does not remove compulsion for those other cases, example of which we gave about As-Safa and Al-Marwa. For Safa and Marwa, Allah says, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, what is the hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud about the obligation of sa'yu? What is that hadith? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّعْيَ. How does it start? How does that hadith start? In the end, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the beginning of it, it says, the meaning of which I can only record, it says, O people, make sa'yu. أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اسْعَوْا. O people, make sa'yu. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السَّعْيَ. Because Allah has made sa'yu compulsory on you. This hadith occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud. Many of us who have read Bulugh al-Maram, that hadith is also in Bulugh al-Maram. Ulama say the hadith is hasan ala al-aqal, that Allah has made sa'yu obligated. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفُوا بِهِمَا أَوْ بَيْنَهُمَا. فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ إِنَّ الصَّفَا وَالْمَرْوَةَ مِنْ شَعَائِرِ اللَّهِ فَمَنْ حَجَّ الْبَيْتَ وَاعْتَمَرَ فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِ عَلَيْهِ أَنْ يَطَّوَّفَ بِهِمَا وَمَنْ تَطَوَّعَ خَيْرًا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَاكِرٌ عَلِيمٌ. This verse does not mean that as-sa'yu is not compulsory, because there are other verses that show that sa'yu is compulsory. La junaha alayhi only shows that it is not from the aspects of shirk, it is from the aspects of ibadah. Fala junaha alaykum an taqsuru min as-salah. There is no blame for you to reduce your salah, does not show that salah is not compulsory. Salatul Qasr is not compulsory. La junaha alaykum is showing here that you are not demeaning your deen. Someone will say, oh, we're supposed to observe four rakats. Why are we observing two rakats? There is no blame on you to observe two rakats, because two rakats is what Allah has made obligatory for you for Salatul Qasr. Then there's another issue in that. It says, in khiftum an yaftinakum alladhina kafaru. فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ. There is no blame on you for you to reduce your salah. إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. If you are afraid that the non-Muslims, the disbeliever, can bring fitna to you if you don't reduce your salah. So ulama, some of them say, you see now, it means the time that we should observe Salatul Qasri is when we are afraid. When we are not afraid, there is no Salatul Qasri. But those who say this, ulama say they are the khawarij. They are the ones who act upon the zahir of this hadith like this. Why? One of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya'la ibn Umayya al-Makki. Ya'la ibn Umayya al-Makki. Ya'la ibn Umayya al-Makki was a very, very popular companion of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya'la ibn Umayya, during the time of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, he made him a head in a community to be collecting zakah. During the time of Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar made him a head in Yemen, tax of Yemen, to collect zakah from them. During the time of Uthman bin Affan, Uthman made him representative to go and collect zakah from us. The companions Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman will not be making someone the head of those, hey, go and collect their zakah, except that that person is an eminent person, is a trustworthy person, is a reliable person, is a knowledgeable person amongst the companions. رضي الله عنه. So يعلى ابن أمية المكي رضي الله عنه one day. He said to Umar رضي الله عنه that Allah says إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا فلا جناح عليكم أن تقصروا من الصلاة. There is no blame on you to reduce salah if you fear that the non-Muslims can bring fitna to you. He says واليوم فقد أمن الناس. But today people are in security. He understood from that verse that if there is security, there is no need for kusr. He says, in khiftum, if you are afraid that kuffar can bring fitna to you. What does that mean? If you are not afraid that kuffar can bring fitna to you, fala taksur. That was what he understood from that verse. When he said that to Umar radiallahu anhu, Umar said radiallahu anhu, عجبت مما عجبت منه عجبت مما عجبت منه فسألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I was disturbed, I was concerned about this your concern that Allah says فلا جناح عليكم أن تقصروا من الصلاة. There is no blame on you to reduce your salah. إن خفتم أن يفتنكم الذين كفروا. If you fear that the non-Muslims can bring fitna to you, there is no blame if you reduce your salah. I told the Prophet too, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But now there is no fitna. Should we still be observing salatul qasri? Faqala. When I asked the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, sadaqatun tasaddaqallahu biha alaykum. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that salatul qasri is what? Sadaqatun tasaddaqallahu biha alaykum. Sadaqatun tasaddaqallahu biha alaykum. It's a kind of a charity that Allah has extended to you. Sadaqatun tasaddaqallahu biha alaykum. That salatul qasri is a sadaqah that Allah has extended to us. Faqbalu sadaqatahu. Therefore, you all should accept his sadaqah. So that is the reason why we understand that even though there is no fear from non-Muslims, the mere fact that a Muslim makes qat'ul masafa, he travels on a journey, the mere fact that he travels on a journey suffices for him to make what? He will not say no. Allah says in khiftum an yaftinakum alladhina kafaru. If a person says that, you should quickly be aware. Because the position of the Khawarij in that is that they insist. But the position of the people of the Sunnah is that they employ the Sunnah. This is the reason why as-Sunnah to tufassir al-Quran. The Sunnah will explain the Quran. وَهِيَ دَلِيلُهُ. And the Sunnah is the guide for us to know what the Quran is. The Sunnah will direct us regarding the Quran. The Sunnah will make us understand the points in the Quran. So it's not, connected to the fear from non-Muslims. So there's a question. So why then does the Quran say in khiftum an yaftinakum alladhina kafaru regarding the kusr when he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fala junaha alaykum an taksuru min as-salah ulama say kharaja makhraj al-galib. That verse has come out in the coming out of what was common in the lifetime of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because the bulk of his journeys were journeys he made for wars and military campaigns. It does not mean that the ruling is restricted to military campaigns. The bulk of the time the Prophet traveled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the bulk of it, alayhi salatu wa salam, were what? Journeys of campaigns. Defend yourself. Protect yourself. Fight them. Non-Muslims. Mushrikun. The bulk of his journey were based on this. So that was why that verse came like that. But it does not mean that it is restricted to that circumstance. That was why the Prophet now explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that salatul qasri is sadaqatun tasaddaqallahu biha alaykum faqbalu sadaqatahu. That salatul qasri is a sadaqah that Allah has bestowed on us, so we should accept his sadaqah. So this hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. It also occurs in Sunan Abi Dawud and in other books of Sunnah. This hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, that he asked the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The point of reference for us in this hadith is that Salatul Qasri is established in the Quran. The point of reference from that verse, فَلَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. The point of reference for us inside it is that Salatul Safar is established from the Quran. And don't forget, it is not restricted to the times of fear. Is Salatul Safari restricted to the time of fear? Is it? Is Salatul Safar restricted to the time of fear? It is not restricted to it. How do you know? Didn't Allah say in khiftum an yaftinakum alladhina kafaru? Naam? That falaysa alaykum junahu an taksuru min as-salati. There is no blame on you for you to reduce your salah. In khiftum, if you are afraid, an yaftinakum alladhina kafaru, for the disbelievers to bring fitna to you. Didn't it say if you are afraid? So why are we observing Salatul Qasri even though there is no fear? Now, because of that explanation from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, so why did Allah say in khiftum? Why does that verse come out like that? Because the bulk of the journeys of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam were journeys he made for military campaigns. I hope that this point is clear. I want to be sure that it is clear. So, Salatul As-Safari, Salatul Safar is established in the Quran. As for the Sunnah, Al-Imam Ibn Qudamah Al-Muqdasi says, Rahimahullah, وَقَدْ تَوَاتَرَتِ الْأَخْبَارِ. The reports have been widely reported, largely and widely reported. أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم that the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم كان يقصر في أسفاره, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم used to make صلاة القصر, صلاة السفر, during his journeys, حاجا, whether he was making حج ومعتمرا, or he was making عمره وغازيا, or he's making what? غزوة. In all of these cases, there are a lot of reports that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he traveled on those journeys, what would he make? He would make qasr. He would make qasr. So these reports are mutawatira. Tawataratil akhbar. These reports are mutawatira. Someone can ask us. Give me an example of hadith mutawatir. Hadith salatil qasr. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make salatul safar, salatul qasri, during his asfar, during his journeys. He would reduce those salah, as we shall come back to them. So salatul qasri is also established from the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wa sallam. The third thing about that is that salatul as-safari, salatul qasri, is also established bil ijma'. Salatul Safar, Salatul Qasri is also established bil ijma, by consensus. Ulama are agreed. Someone can come. How do you know that Salatul Qasri is in Islam? It's in the Quran. How do you know that Salatul Qasri is in Islam? It's in the Sunnah. Bit Tawatur, with wide reportage. How do you know that Salatul Qasr is part of Islam? Bil ijma, by consensus. Because we are in a questioning generation now. People are questioning everything. So you must be ready to provide an answer. And the answer is proof. Erini down. The answer is what? Proof. Because if it is what you think, somebody else is thinking about something else. So what is it that establishes Salatul Qasri al-Ijma? What is it that establishes Salatul Qasri? Quran. And that verse, of course, in Surah Nisa. I think the 100th verse or the 101th verse. 101. The 101 verse. In Surah Nisa. Allah says, وَإِذَا ضَرَبْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ جُنَاحٌ أَن تَقْصُرُوا مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ إِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَن يَفْتِنَكُمُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. That is the proof. From the Sunnah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, anytime he was on a journey, anytime he went on Hajj, anytime he went on Umrah, anytime he went on a battle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he observed Salatul Qasr in all these occasions. And there is consensus amongst the ulama of Islam that Salatul Qasr is from the rulings of Islam. Somebody can now ask, who told you that there is Ijma? Ibn Hazm al-Andalusi mentioned Ijma in Maratib al-Ijma. Al-Imam Ibn al-Qattan mentioned Al-Ijma in his book Al-Iqna'. Others too mentioned, like Ibn Qudama al-Muqtasi in Al-Mughni. He mentioned Ijma, that there is consensus. And before all these people, Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn al-Munzir also mentioned Al-Ijma in his book Al-Awsat. So many of the ulama say there's Ijma, there's Ijma, there's Ijma. The reason why you have to know who cited Ijma is that someone can say that some Ijma are not munakid. That is, they are not established. They are only a claim. But the fact that many amongst ulama cite Ijma makes us know that there's actually an Ijma. Or he can ask you, how do you know that there's Ijma? You know all the opinions of all the scholars? I say, no, me, I didn't know all the opinions of all the scholars. So Ibn Hazm cited Ijma. Ibn al-Qattan cited Ijma. Ibn Qudama cited Ijma. Ibn Rushd in al-Bidayah, or Bidayah al-Mujtahid, he also cited Ijma. These are the people who cited Ijma, and they are people who can make a statement on this matter. Who do you know who says there is no Ijma? So after defending yourself, you put it back. Who do you know who says there is no Ijma? He now says, I don't think there is Ijma. So you say, who are you? Do you have a say in this matter? May Allah protect all of us. May Allah protect all of us. So Salatul Qasr is established bil Quran wa bil Sunnati wa bil Ijma. It's established in the Quran. It's established in the Sunnah. And it's also established bil Ijma by the consensus of the ulama. Well, that is all we can say about that chapter heading, Babu Salatul Safar. We try to explain what the Safar means. But there's a point still left. What is that point that we have not explained? The masafa, the journey. We'll come back to it, inshallah. Which journey is it that we can make, that makes safar, that can make us to now observe Salatul Qasr? We'll come back to that, inshallah. Tahdidul masafa, describing, mentioning the distance. What distance is it that we need to make before we can make Salatul Qasr? This question comes a lot. A person travels from Ife to Ikwetumodu, can he make Salatul Qasr? A person travels from Oshobo to Edel Sufa, Owode Ede, or Abere. Someone travels to Abere from Oshobo. Adi is Adere part of Oshobo?
Yes.
Don't say yes, so. Arede o nigbayun o. Ah, nigbayun lede o. Today, me, I'm from Ede today. Arede ni mi no ni. Ede o nigbake Adere Oshobo ni o. Wo ko Oshobo si. Wo se ko Adere Oshobo. Ile Adere nbe lede. Kọ́dà wọn ní báálẹ̀ ń bẹ̀ àtẹ́dẹ ni wọ́n ti ń yàn wá kó. Àwárẹ́ ẹ̀dẹ́ àdáhùn ni. You know, I'm from Ede. There's hadith, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik in Sahih al-Bukhari, by which Imam al-Bukhari explains that point. Even though Yorubas don't accept it, but Allah radmi unufihim. Allah and His Messenger accepts it like that. That if your mother is from a place, you are from that place too. If your mother is from a place, you are from that place. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said alayhi salatu wa salam, Ibnu ukhti al-qawmi minhum. This hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Ibnu ukhti al-qawm minhum. Ibnu ukhti al-qawm minhum. The son of the sister of a people is part of them. You know the women from Ede, they are the sisters of the people of Ede. They are ukhtu qawmihim, or akhwatu qawmihim. The women, Ubiare Ede, she's a sister to the people of Ede. Do you understand? Don't worry. So there's no Salatul Khawf about that. So Ibn Ukhti liqawmi minhum. The son of the sister of the people is from them. Some amongst the Quraysh were gathered with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Prophet was now asking, Quraysh, are you the only people here? They say, no, we have one of our slaves and one boy who is the son of one of our women. The woman was from Quraysh. The father is from somewhere else. They say, so this boy, his mother is one of us. But Baba Rekishara, you know the way we do it. But the mother is from the town. It's from Quraysh. And then one of their slaves, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that boy too is one of you. Then he's made that statement that Ibn Ukhti al-Qawm minhum, the son of the sister of the people is from them. There's a big important point about that. That's why Isa alayhi salam is from Banu Israel. I'm not just saying it. That's why Isa alayhi salam is from Banu Israel. Because he's Ibn Ukhti al-Qawm. A Christian can challenge you. You say Isa is not the son of God. Say yes. So how do you say he's from Banu Israel? Who is his father? Who is Isa alayhi salam's father from Banu Israel? Who is the father of Isa alayhi salam from Banu Israel? Does Isa alayhi salam have a father? So how is he from Banu Israel? He is what? Ibn Ukhti al-Qawm. فَهُوَ مِنْهُمْ. So when Allah says Isa is from Banu Israel, many places in the Quran, that is how it has come to be. The point is, Abirik Ishara Ushugo. Ibelati Aloko. Oh, you thought we had forgotten? No. So a person makes a journey from Oshogbo to Abere, will he make coffee? We are coming back to that, inshallah. But before we do that, what is the ruling of Salatul Qasri? We come back to our text. Al-Imam al-Shawkani said, Rahimahullah, يَجِبُ الْقَصْرُ عَلَى مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَلَدِهِ قَاصِدًا لِلسَّفَرِ يَجِبُ الْقَصْرُ عَلَى مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَلَدِهِ قَاصِدًا لِلسَّفَرِ. What did he say? يَجِبُ الْقَصْرُ عَلَى مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَلَدِهِ قَاصِدًا لِلسَّفَرِ. يَجِبُ الْقَصْرُ. Shortening the salah, يَجِبُ is compulsory. عَلَى مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَلَدِهِ, upon the person who comes, travels out of his own town, out of his maqar, out of his makan. Don't forget. He travels out of the place of residence. Qasidan lis-safar, intending to travel, traveling to such a place. So if you ask me, what is the ruling of Salatul Qasr inda al-Imam al-Shawkani? Wajib. Wajibah. Salatul Qasr is what? Wajibah in the Shawkani. It's yajibul Qasr. It is compulsory to reduce the Salah from 4 rak'ahs to what? To 2. For what? For Salatul Dhuhr, for Salatul Asr, and for what? For Salatul Isha. It is compulsory for us to reduce those salawats. It is compulsory for us to reduce the salah. He says, يَجِبُ الْقَصْرُ عَلَى مَنْ خَرَجَ مِنْ بَلَدِهِ قَافِدًا لِلسَّفَرِ. Reduction of the salah is compulsory upon the individual who travels out of his city intending to travel. So, ikhwa, the ruling of Salatul Qasri is wujub or wajibah. It is not as simple as I have said it amongst ulama. There is a very, very strong difference of opinion amongst them about it. Some of them say that Salatul Qasr is compulsory in those two rak'ahs. People like Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, Abdullah ibn Umar even has a statement that if you don't make Salatul Qasr in 2 rak'ahs when you are on a journey, he says فَقَدْ كَفَرَ لِبَارَةٍ أُخْرَى In another expression he says it is from the aspects of kufr. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he says تَرْكُهُ كُفْرٌ تَرْكُ الْقَصْرِ كُفْرٌ. Abandoning, leaving Salatul Qasr is from the aspects of kufr. We will explain it. What it means is that disobedience to Allah. It's like someone who is observing Salatul Fajr in 4 rak'ahs. It's big disobedience to Allah. He wants us to know how enormous that disobedience is. For someone who is on safar to observe 4 units of prayer is big disobedience to Allah. Ibn Umar said, radiallahu anhu, kufrun. It's one major sin. That's what it means. It does not mean that the person goes out of Islam. But it goes to explain how important it is for us to observe Salatul Qasr when we are on a journey. This is one opinion amongst the ulama, that if you are traveling, you must observe 2 rak'ahs. If you are imam, 2 rak'ahs. If you are praying alone, 2 rak'ahs. There are issues if you are praying behind an imam who is praying alone. Who is observing, who is from home. If you are praying behind an imam who is a homa, the ruling is different. We will come back there, inshallah. So some of the ulama say Salatul Qasr is not wajibah. They say it is sunnah. If you pray, okay. If you pray 4 rak'ahs, okay. If you like, pray 2 rak'ahs. If you like, pray 4 rak'ahs. That's the second view. Others say it is bi khiyar al musalli, with the choice of the praying person, if he likes to pray, if he likes. Because they say it is rukhsah. That is, it is just a soft landing, so to speak, that Allah gave you. Say, falaysa alaykum junahum. But we have explained that verse, that does not mean that. Say, so if you don't observe 4 rak'ahs, you observe 2 rak'ahs. Okay, there is no blame. You can observe 2 rak'ahs. Okay, no problem. They say it is rukhsah for us. So there are opinions. But the two strongest opinions are the opinion of the Jumhur. The large majority of the ulama say it is sunnah. But others say no, Salatul Qasr is wajibah. We must observe 2 rak'ahs when we are on safar. So what are the proofs that they have employed to make that position? Rahimahumullah. That position is the position of Abdullah ibn Abbas amongst the companions. It's also the position of Abdullah ibn Umar. It's also the position of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari. It's also the position of Ali ibn Abi Talib. The reason I'm mentioning them is that because I have mentioned the position of Jumhur, large majority, doesn't mean that. So who are those? They can say, maybe that's Albani's position. Yes, it is Albani's position too. and he has the right of a mujtahid to have a position. Imaredebe. Let's talk about that. Many times people make zulm against this alim, this sheikh, this imam. Sheikh al-Albani rahimahullah. Al-Imam. If he has a view, he says Al-Albani is you. So what? So what? So what? All those you will refer to as scholars in this generation, amongst the people of Sunnah, say, we don't know anybody who is more learned in the science of the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like him. Some even make it mutlaq, he's the most knowledgeable amongst us. So what are you saying? As a learned person, he has a right to make intellectual deduction. From my research, this is the result. So why are you committing a sin because you are blackmailing him and backbiting the sheikh, the imam? And the blunt truth, actually, the blunt truth is that he has done more work in terms of the science of hadith than any single person in the last 100 years in this ummah. So what's the big deal? That Al-Imam Al-Albani has an opinion, so what? So what? He has a right to have an opinion. It is you who don't have a right to query his opinion. Even those who don't agree with his positions, when he's talking, they keep quiet. I always remember I mentioned the story that one of our teachers mentioned, Sheikh Mashur Hassan Al Salman. The Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah Abu Zaid. We know him? Sheikh Bakr ibn Abdullah. He has many books. Like Tafsih al-Dua. Like La Jadida fi Ahkam al-Salah. And others. Sheikh Mashur said, Hafizahullah, they went to this Sheikh and said, you always have many opinions different from that of our Sheikh. Say yes. We will organize a sitting with you. Come and tell him those things. Face to face. You know what the reply the Sheikh gave them? He said, huwa insan, idha jalastuhu, nasitu ma akul. That's the person that if I sit in front of him, I will forget what I want to say. This big Sheikh, big alim, Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd, was teaching in the masjid of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Before he died, he taught in a rawdah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma bayna minbari wa ghurfati rawdatun min riyad al-jannah. That's between the minbar of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the room of Aisha radiallahu anha is one of the gardens of al-jannah. Sheikh Bakr Abu Zayd used to teach there in that rawdah. He says if he sits in front of Sheikh Al-Albani, he will forget what he wants to say. So how about you? How about you? So I like to warn those people with the like of what ulama say to people like that. They say, Luhumul ulama masmuma. Luhumul ulama masmumatun. The skin, the flesh of the scholar is a poisoned flesh. Man akalaha mariba. If you eat it, man shammaha mariba. If you smell it, you will fall sick. Aruma bae to bagbe mutiko fe humu fe gbe humu era wa fa era ti o ni ororo lara ni ororo acid poison iwo to ba firumu aruma bae wa man akalaha mata to bagbe je wa ku. The meaning of a person falling ill when he smells the flesh of scholars is that he is coming near backbiting them. He is in his mind thinking, Ta'ala Libani Yagana, Aruma Abaye, you will fall sick mentally. o ma soro won ma so pe abi were ni oni man shamma marida wa man akalaha mata. Those who eat it by backbiting, they will die intellectually, because you need him in many things in this generation, in the aspects of knowledge, as far as Islam is concerned. You will need his knowledge. So if you avoid his knowledge, and we have seen many people like that, instead of citing him in example in the matters, they want to avoid to cite him. Mata. So whoever does that, backbiting people like this, he will die. Intellectual death. He will not be useful in terms of knowledge. So it's good to be careful. And it is one of the symbols of the people of innovation. Any person you hear, Albani, woe. Oni bigiani. And so, sorry, Albani, woe. Oni bigiani. It is from the alamat of the people of innovation to attack the personality of the people of sin. Just know that. In fact, for someone to say Albani woe is too direct, let him do it indirectly. The same way indirectly we start suspecting, are you sure who are learning Sunnah? What I've said now, I didn't say it. Sheikh Abdul Muftin Abbad said it. The Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah Alamun Lissunnah is the flag of the Sunnah. Flag Sunnah. Albani, if you hear Albani, what do you think they are talking about? One day in Makkah, I was in a bookshop called Al-Maktabatul Asadiyah about 4 years ago. Someone from China, I wanted to pay the money. You know that how that place is, where you pay. One man in China, from China, Chinese. They write their Chinese language behind them. You see them. And when you look at them, you know these are Chinese. He couldn't speak any language. No English, no Hausa, no Yoruba, no communication. He was holding a sheet of paper. He pointed it to me and to the rest of the people. You know what they wrote on that book? Silsilat al-Ahadith al-Sahiha. They wrote it for him from China, Lawat over the Saudi. It was showing us. You know the way someone who does not hear a language, so we looked at it and say, okay, he wants to sell a Sahiha. From China. So Sheikh Al-Albani Rahimahullah, he has a view that Salatul Qasr is wajibah. Before him, Sheikh Ahmed Shakir. Before him, Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, and many others. They say Salatul Qasr is wajiba. Amongst them, Al-Imam Ibn al-Munzir. Ibn al-Munzir is a second century scholar. And then these companions that we have mentioned, Jabir, Ali ibn Abi Talib, Abdullah ibn Umar, Umar himself, radiyallahu anhu, Aisha, radiyallahu anha, and others, radiyallahu anhu. They say that it is compulsory for us to observe Salatul Qasr in 2 rakat. What are the proofs? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma reported this hadith, and the hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. It farada Allahu salata ala lisan nabiyikum. Farada Allahu salata ala lisan nabiyikum. Allah made the salah to become obligatory upon the tongue of your prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Fil habari arba'a. Fil habari kam arba'a. When you are at home, how many rakat? 4 rakat. Wa fi safari rak'atayn. When you are on safar, how many rakat? 2 rakat. Wa fil khawfi rak'ata. And during the time of khawf, 1 rak'ah. I hope we understand this study. When will Salatul Khawf be 1 rak'ah? Is ashtadd al khawf. I hope that we explain this hadith. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu said, Allah made salah compulsory upon the lips of your upon the tongue of your prophet. If you are at home, for a farad Allah. Allah made it compulsory. But from the tongue of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fil habari arba'a, when you are upon in your residence, 4 rakas. Wa fi safari rak'atayn. When you are on a journey, 2 rakas. Wa fil khawfi rak'ata. And during the times of fear, 1 rak'ah. This hadith is in Sahih Muslim. It's faradallahu. Allah made compulsory. This is one evidence that Salatul Qasr is what? Compulsory. It's explicit. And it is not mawkuf. Somebody can say mawkufun and Ibn Abbas. It's faradallahu. He says, ala lisani asnadahu radiyallahu anhuma. Ala lisani nabiyiku. That is how it has been from the tongue of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if we don't see that expression, laysa mimma yuqalu bil ra'is. This is not from the things that Ibn Abbas could have said from his own ijtihad. Radiyallahu anhuma. The second proof that Salatul Qasri is compulsory is the hadith of Umar radiyallahu anhu. And we had read this hadith too. He said, radiyallahu anhu, Salatul Jum'ati rak'atan. Salatul Jum'ah rak'atan. Salatul Jum'ah is 2 rak'at. Wa Salatul Qasri rak'atan. Salatul Jum'ah rak'atan. Salatul Qasri rak'atan. Wa Salatul Adha rak'atan. Wa Salatul Fitri rak'atan. Tamamun ghayru qasrin. Ala lisani nabiyikum alayhi salatu wassalam. Umar said Salatul Qasri, Salatul Jum'ah is 2 rak'at, Salatul Fitri is 2 rak'at, Salatul Adha is 2 rak'at, Salatul Safari is 2 rak'at, tamamun. Each of these, that is how they are complete. Gairu Qasri, it's not that you are cutting it short, it's complete. It would mean that when we say they are Salatul Qasri, we are mentioning it relative to the Salah at home. Otherwise, they are what? Tamamun. They are complete like that. They are not reduced. Fala junaha alaykum and takfuru. So there is no blame. Because that is how that Salah is. They are 2 rak'at. And then he ascribed this, radiyallahu anhu. He says, ala lisani nabiyikum. That is how it is from the tongue of your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith was reported by Imam al-Nasa'i. Al-Imam ibn Majah also reported it in his Sunan. Likewise, Al-Imam Abu Bakr ibn Abi Shayba in his Musannaf. And others like that too. Abdul Razak ibn Hammam al-San'ani in his Musannaf. So the second hadith is that hadith of Umar. The third proof. Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari also has a similar statement like this statement of Umar. That Salatu Safar is rak'atan ala lisani nabiyikum. And that is not occurred in Al-Awsat by Al-Imam Ibn Al-Munzir. We can go back and check it, the fourth volume. The third hadith we like to mention that proves that Salatul Qasri is compulsory is the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, Furidati salatu rak'atayn rak'atayn. Salah was made to be 2 rak'at. Furidati salah. Salah was made 2 rak'at. 2 rak'at. Fajr 2 rak'at. Zuhur 2 rak'at. Asr 2 rak'at. Maghrib 2 rak'at. There's a report that except Maghrib with this hadith of Aisha. That report occurs in Musnad Imam Ahmad, but it's not sahih. So we take the generalness in this hadith of Aisha. So the salawat, we are 2 rak'at. Rak'atayn, rak'atayn, rak'atayn. Radiyallahu anha. She said, Furidatis salah. Salah became compulsory in 2 rak'at. Fil hadari wa safar. When you are at home and when you are on a journey. فَأُكِرَّتْ صَلَاةُ السَّفَرِ. صَلَاةُ السَّفَرِ was made to remain like that. وَزِيدَ فِي صَلَاةِ الْحَضَرِ. But the salah at home was increased. The salah at home was what? Increased. So it became what? 4. صَلَاةُ السَّفَرِ still remained to be 2 rak'ah. In the report of this report occurs in Sahih Muslim. In the report of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, she said, رَضِيَ anha. Furidati salatu rak'atayn. Salah was made compulsory as 2 rak'at. ثم هاجر النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Subsequently, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم made hijrah. ففُرِضَتْ أَرْبَعَةٌ. After the hijrah, salah became four rak'at. وَتُرِكَتْ صَلَاةُ السَّفَرِ عَلَى الْأَوَّلِ. تُرِكَتْ صَلَاةُ السَّفَرِ. Salatul Safar was left to remain as it was before. How was it at that time? Two rak'at. So that means the way we will observe Salatul Asri as four rak'at at home, we can't make it six rak'at. That is the same way we should observe Salatul Asri, two rak'at when we are on journey. We must not make it how many rak'at? Four rak'at. We must not make it four rak'at at all. The fourth hadith, the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said, sahibtu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi safari hatta qubida. I was in the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon his journeys till he passed away, till he was taken away. وَكَانَ لَا يَزِيدُ عَلَىٰ رَكَعَتَيْنِ. The Prophet never increased, never observed more than two rak'at. Wa Abu Bakr. That was the same way I was in the companionship of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, and upon his journeys he never made any more than two rak'at. Wa Umar. Likewise, Umar radiallahu anhu, he never made more than two rak'at. Wa Uthman kadhalik. Likewise, Uthman, when he traveled, he never made more than two rak'at. There's a hadith of Uthman that he made Hajj and he made four rak'at in Mina, on Ayyamu Mina. We are coming back to that hadith. So Ibn Umar said, all these people, we make two rak'at when they are on a journey. Ulama say the fact that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never made any more than two rak'at is evidence that you too must not make more than two rak'at. Because Allah has commanded you to follow the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never made more than two rak'at. So why do you want to make more than two rak'at? So you should not make more than two rak'at when you are on a journey. That's a hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar records in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud also has a similar hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. So these are the statements from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as was ascribed to him by his companions radiyallahu anhum, telling us that Salatu al-Qasri in two rak'at is compulsory. And every person who wants to make Salatu al-Qasri during his journey should make Salatul Qasri in two rak'at. Don't make four rak'at. You should only make them in two rak'at. Two units of prayer is what we should make when we are on a journey. But something that Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi has mentioned here is interesting. Let us read it. We'll stop there today, inshallah. He said, Hafizahullah, in his book Al-Bahr al-Muhit, the 15th volume, page 25. Al-Bahr al-Muhit is his sharh on Sahih Muslim. Al-Bahr al-Muhit al-Sajjaj bi sharhi Sahih Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj. That is the full name. It occurs in the 15th volume, page 25. He said, Hafizahullah, قد تبين مما ذكر من أقوال العلماء. It has become clear from what we have cited so far from the statements of the scholars. وبيان أدلتهم and the explanation of their proofs. أن أرجع الأقوال. It has become clear that the strongest of the proofs of the statements is قول من قال بوجوب القصر. Is the view of those who opine that Salatul Qasr is compulsory. لأمره صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم بذلك. Because the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم commanded us to do so when he says فَقْبَلُوا صَدَقَتَهُ. So therefore take the sadaqah of Allah that he has given you. That is a statement of command. That means that Salatul Qasri is compulsory. وَهُوَ لِلْوُجُوبِ. That statement of command from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم is evidence of compulsoriness. مع ما ثبت عنه من ملازمته القصر في جميع أسفاره. Along with the fact that he stuck to observing Salatul Qasri in all of his journeys. If لم يصح أنه أتم صلاته في السفر قط, because there is no authentic hadith to show that the Prophet at any point in time ever completed his salah in four rak'ahs when he was on a journey. وأما ما ثبت من إتمام عثمان وعائشة رضي الله عنها وغيرهما من الصحابة, but that hadith that is authentically reported that Uthman ibn Affan on the days of Hajj, he observed Salatul Zuhr and Asr on Ayyamu Mina as four rak'ahs. Likewise, Aisha, there's a statement from her that at the time she observed her Salah in four rak'ahs, and others amongst the Salah, Sahaba, because you will understand that when Uthman ibn Affan made those four rak'ahs, there were a lot of companions who were alive at the time, like Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, like Abdurrahman ibn Auf. All these people waited and observed those four rak'ahs with Uthman ibn Affan radiyallahu anhu. So they observed that salah and they were not known to have repeated that salah. So in all of these things that have happened from these companions, he says, فَمِنْ بَابِ الْإِجْتِهَادِ, this has occurred from the aspects of juristic reasonings. وَقَدْ خَالَفَهُمْ غَيْرُهُمْ مِنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, others amongst the Sahaba like them have given different opinions. وَإِذَا وَقَعَ الْإِخْتِلَافُ بَيْنَهُمْ, and if the companions hold differently amongst them, فَلَيْسَ قَوْلُ أَحَدٍ مِّنْهُمْ حُجَّةِ, the statement of any one of them is not taken as hujjah, بَلْ يَجِبُ الرُّجُوعُ إِلَى النُّسُوسِ, what is rather obligatory on us is to return to the text in the Quran and the Sunnah, لِقَوْلِهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ, based on the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran that فَإِنْ تَنَزَعْتُمْ فِي شَيْءٍ فَرُدُّوهُ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ, if you disagree amongst yourself regarding any matter, refer that matter back to Allah and His Messenger. Don't forget that when that verse was being revealed and the Prophet was reciting it, alayhi salatu wasalam, who were the first recipients of that verse? The companions. So it means from the time of the companions, whenever the companions have difference, they hold differently regarding a matter, we go back. What does the ahadith from the Prophet say? What do the verses of the Quran regarding this matter say? فَإِذَا رَجَعْنَا إِلَيْهَا, when we come back to this text, فَقَدْ تَوَافَقَتِ النُّصُوصِ الْقَوْلِيَّةِ, فَقَدْ تَوَافَقَتِ النُّصُوصُ الْقَوْلِيَّةُ وَالْفِعْلِيَّةُ عَلَى الْقَصْرِ, the statements, the text, express statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the actions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, تَوَافَقَتْ عَلَى الْقَصْرِ, they have all agreed to show that Qasri is compulsory. La ala al-itmam, those statements from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam do not prove that a person performing Salatul Safar should observe four rak'ahs. They show that he should only observe two rak'ahs. Summa, he said rahimahullah, la ala al-itmam, those verses do not show that we should complete those rak'ahs as four. فَوَجَبَ الْقَوْلُ بِهِ, it then becomes compulsory to have this as our opinion. وَكَكُنْتُ وَرَجَّحْتُ, look at this Shaykh حَفِظَهُ اللَّهِ, so these ahadith prove that it is compulsory for us to observe two units. Why am I saying this? Sometimes we travel with brothers, you see some people observing four rak'ahs, they say some companions would, those statements from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam don't show that you should do any other than pray two rak'ahs. So sometimes you just keep quiet. This Shaykh says, rahimahullah, فَقَدْ تَوَافَقَتِ النُّسُوسِ, the texts are all agreed. These nusus, some of them are qawliya, some of them are fa'iliya. They are texts that show his statements, they are texts that show his actions. They are agreed ala al-qasri, that we should reduce those salah and make them two units of prayer. La ala al-itmam, they do not show that we should make four rak'ahs. He says, فَوَجَبَ الْقَوْلُ بِهِ, It therefore becomes compulsory for us to observe two rakat and not four by obligation. Anytime that we are upon a journey. He now said this, and that's what I like to mention, because it is possible we go and check the rest of his books. Many of our brothers now read the books of this Sheikh Muhammad ibn Adam al-Ethiopi, Hafizahullah, one of the scholars of hadith in Mecca, one of the oldest scholars of hadith in Mecca today. He teaches in Masjid al-Haram. We may read others amongst his books, like Zakhiratul Uqba, his Sharh on Sunan al-Nasa'i, and find something else. He says, Hafizahullah, وَقَدْ كُنْتُ رَجَّحْتُ فِي شَرْحِ النَّسَائِ الْقَوْلَ بِالْجَوَازِ. In my Sharh of Sunan al-Nasa'i, I used to say, two units, well, is just allowed. That was the opinion I held in that book. ثُمَّ مِلْتُ إِلَى هَذَا. Thereafter, I checked it again, and my mind is inclined towards this new opinion that it is compulsory. لِمَا ذَكَرْتُهُ. Based on those evidences that I had cited earlier. وَبِاللَّهِ التَّوْفِيقِ. And Allah alone is the one through whom tawfiq, success, is attained. So this Imam, he had an opinion in a book he wrote in 45 volumes, or 43. It shows that when he compiled these works, they are based on a research that is worth non-stopping. It was not as if he researched it, he got a solution, and said, no, that's my final opinion. He's still revisiting the views as he authored each of the books. May Allah preserve him upon goodness. It's not an easy thing for a learned person to come back and say, oh, no, I'm not. Many people don't do that again. And it was very common amongst the early Muslims. People like Al-Imam Malik will give a talk today. They will see a proof tomorrow and come back and say, oh, yesterday I said something. Today I'm not saying it again. Today people think that it's a sign of ignorance. Meanwhile, it's a sign that your knowledge has increased. You didn't know some things yesterday. You knew it today. So say it that the opinion has changed, if you need to change it. And it also means that when we come to issues, we should be revisiting those matters, revisiting those proofs again, because they may appear to you in another way that it appeared to you in the first instance. So these things are very important. Give every text its value and be fair to yourself. It's not a thing of shame that someone has a view about a matter and then he comes and says, oh no, that view has changed. This is my new opinion regarding this matter. Let it just be knowledge based. May Allah guide all of us to that which is beneficial for us in our dunya and our akhirah. May Allah reward this Sheikh for his beautiful knowledge. His books are very, 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 very educative on any subject that he's discussing. That is not to say you restrict your view, your study to his works. And I never do that. I never do that. That's why when we mention some of these issues, we say go back to these other texts too. You find them there. But wallahi, if a person sits down with 45 volumes of these as Sharh of Sahih Muslim, you will come back to become a very knowledgeable person after your study of his work. Otojo Koti. A very big work he has done. May Allah reward the Sheikh Benefit with bounties of goodness. I think we'd like to stop here today. We'll continue from here, inshallah, in our next class. We're only able to say that Salatul Qasri is established in the Sharia. It is established from the Quran. It is established from the Sunnah. It is also established bil ijma. And that the strongest opinion, inshallah, from amongst the opinion that the scholars have held, is that Salatul Qasri is wajibah. It is not allowed for us to observe more than two rak'at when we are upon a journey, praying alone or leading people in prayer. Don't observe more than two rak'at. As for the times when we pray behind an imam while we are on a journey, inshallah, we come back to it to see what the ulama have said and the evidences for against the different positions that they have given. Allahu Allah, we can answer one or two questions. We spent the time so much today. Alaykum as-salam. Naam. Can someone observe Salatul Qasri at the time of Salatul Maghrib? No. There is no Qasru for Salatul Fajri and Salatul Maghrib. Salatul Maghrib remains 3 rak'at, just like Salatul Fajri remains at 2 rak'at at every time, whether we are at home or we are on a journey. Clear. Naam. Alaykum salam. No, don't talk about marriage today. Talk about Salatul Safar today. Many times discussions on issues of marriage, divorce, which will take us away from where we are. Alaykum salam. But you can write that question. Please write it and keep it. Write it and send it here. Inshallah. I mean, a core member who does what? Who has an intention of redeploying? Yeah. He will start observing Salah full when he comes to camp. When he's in camp, from day one in camp, his Salah is full. We'll come back to it. There's hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas in Sahih al-Bukhari that's evidence for that. And it mentions it to be 19 days. There was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the journey for 19 days, qasr throughout. Full salah throughout, itmam throughout. If you are starting, we are going to spend 19 days here. From the beginning of that 19 days, you observe your salah full. If it is less than that, you are observing qasr. But if it is 19 days and above, you'll be observing that salah full, complete. If it is 2 weeks, it is qasr. If it is full like that, 21 days you observe on NYC camp, you observe that salah full from day one when they arrive camp. Okay. The brother leaves camp in, where is that camp? Okay. He leaves that camp and then he travels to Enugu. He intends that after he registers in his place of primary assignment, PPA, he is going to travel back to Kaduna, for example. And he finishes, he knows that he will finish his registration in 5 days. Within a week, he has finished his registration at his PPA. He has opened a bank account. Is there a bank in Enugu? Sorry, please. Now, I'm just asking, it's not offensive. Now, there is a bank or there are banks. There are banks. Oh, but you know one. Is there a bank in Enugu or there are banks in Enugu? There is a bank in Enugu. Do you know that this statement, there is a bank in Enugu, does not mean that there are no other banks? There is a bank in Enugu. It does not mean that there are no other banks in Enugu. But when you say there are banks in Enugu, it specifies that there is more than one bank. The other one is not specific, but it is not restrictive. All these things are useful when you understand the text of Sharia. So the brother thinks he will register in the bank and then he will travel to Kaduna. All this took him a week. Within this week, he'll be observing Salatul Qasr. He'll be observing Qasr. He'll be observing Qasr. Within this week. Now he comes to Kaduna, his place of residence, he returns to Enugu, and then after every 15 days, 2 weeks, he travels to Kaduna. Which salah will he be observing at Enugu? He observing Qasr. Each time he comes to Enugu, Qasr.
But when he returns to Kaduna, he is going to spend a week. When he gets to Kaduna, which salah will he be observing? Food. Because that is his maqar, his place of residence. He's come back home now. So for this kind of a person in this our example, Ilobu is not a home, he's just he's on a journey, like a man who travels from home to farm. And the farm is far away. He's just said there for me to quickly come back home. Or to a place to buy products he's coming to sell in another community. He spent a week there, maybe Dubai. He went to buy telephones or telephone accessories or China as they do. He spends a week there. All this throughout this time he's going to observe Salah in custom. Unless he spends up to 19 days. Inshallah, we'll get to prove this more, inshallah, in this discourse before we end on Salatul Qasri. I hope that this matter is clear. Now, we'll make this the last question for today, inshallah. There is someone, okay, and you too, inshallah. Now, alaikum salam. Amin wa antum. If there is specific what? Advantage. For the visitor to lead Salah. I don't know where Yorubas have seen that hadith. You are a traveling person, you visit a place. So they say, let us benefit from the goodness of a traveling person. Who told you that there's one goodness in him? Especially. In fact, something in the hadith shows opposite. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, "Man zara qauman fala ya ummah." Whoever visits the people, don't lead them in salah. This is a basic rule. I think we discussed this under Salatul Jama'ah. If you are visiting the people, don't say you are shehu. So look at Oma laugh for you. Is the imam. Let him lead his salah. Jo'il al-imam li utamma bihi. He is being appointed as the imam to be followed. So the imam has a greater right to lead his salah. So he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim. Man zara qawman falaya ummahum. If you lead the people, don't lead them. If you visit the people, don't lead them in salah. So there is an exception. Illa bi'iznihim. Except by their permission. So if they permit you, lead them. If they don't permit you, don't go in front. Tell the people, me, Sarah Alebi, one of you homers should lead the salah. They have a greater right to lead the salah. So but Yorubas, they say, I don't know where they have found that. Maybe we start asking anybody who does that. I found intention, killer here. Take out your lady, see what you. That doesn't mean we cannot make the visiting person to lead us. There are ahadiths in Sahih Muslim. People like Ibn Abbas, people like Abdullah ibn Omar. If they came to Makkah, the people of Makkah used to tell them, lead us in salah. وَهَذَا لِفَضْلِ الصُّحْبَةِ. And that's because of the virtue connected to their being companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise, how many people go to Mecca every year? Is it every time they have people? Sheikh Bombas, if he comes from Riyadh, he's visiting Mecca and he's praying in Masjid al-Haram. So today is Rahman Sudais and all these other Imam al-Haram should vacate their seat because Sheikh Bombas is around. I tell you, if you do like that, those Imams will hardly lead any Salah. How many times do we have eminent people in Masjid al-Haram leading Salah, observing Salah, and they don't have to bring them to become leaders? You don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. In fact, for me, doing that will be disturbing the Jama'ah. Let the people observe their Salah, like Ibn Mas'ud will say. Malik ibn al-Khuwairis was a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he was pushed forward, he would say, no, lead your salah. Lead your salah. But today we like to be pushed forward. We like it. It shows that you are knowledgeable or what? For me, it's from the signs of arrogance. Because you think you are superior to those other people. and the feeling of superiority over others is the meaning of arrogance in Islam. So don't do that. Don't think you have to lead. Don't have to lead Salah. Don't think like that. They have their Imam. Let their Imam lead them in Salah. Not to now say, oh, they are Jola Alejo. I don't know where Jola Adi Jola killed that they are Jola in of Alejo. May Allah protect all of us. I have a brother called Adi Jola Kew, a friend anyway. May Allah bless the brother. So Jazakumullah khairan. Ikhwa, we'll stop here today, inshallah. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Amin. Why? Ah. Did you learn it? Did you know? Did you know?